Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 22, entitled Elements of Material Creation, text number 6. Yasam vyati karadasit
Yasam vyati karadasit
Vikalpuvadatam padam
Vikalpuvadatam padam
Prapte samadame pyete
Prapte samadame pyete
Vadastamanusanyate
Vadastamanusanyate.
Translation: by interaction of my energies, different opinions arise. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on me and controlled their senses, differences of perception disappear, and consequently the very cause for argument is removed. Purport: conflicting varieties of perceptions are created by the interaction of the Lord's material energy in the minds of different philosophers who staunchly defend their opinions, stating, this may be the case, or perhaps that, or the other, or this may not be the case, or perhaps that is not the case. Such logical or rational proposing, doubting, counter-proposing, counteracting, etc., takes thousands of different forms and becomes the basis of argument. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the basis of all existence, since everything emanates from the Lord, is maintained by the Lord, and at the end is merged to rest within the Lord. Lord Krishna is Paratattva, the highest truth, underlying all other dependent truth. In a society of learned persons who have understood the personality of Godhead to be everything, there is no further cause of philosophical quarrel. Such unity of opinion is not based on the absence of philosophical inquiry, nor on the stifling of rational discussion, but it is the natural result of spiritual enlightenment. So-called philosophers proudly boast that they are searching and researching for the absolute truth. Yet, they somehow consider one who has found the absolute truth to be less intelligent than one who has not found it, but is searching. Because Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, one who fully surrenders to the Lord becomes the most learned person. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ginandana Salakaya Sakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of throwing stones in the water. And he says, when stones are thrown in the water, it creates rings of waves around the place where the stone entered the water. And he says, if different stones are thrown in different places, then the waves will collide. But if all the stones are thrown in the same place, then there is no more collision. So in this way, the devotees are united. They are united behind the understanding, Vasudeva Samam Iti, that Vasudeva is everything, that Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the devotees agree on. And that devotional service to Vasudeva is the ultimate activity. Savai pumso parudamo yato bhaktira dokshaje ahaitagya patiyata iyatma supasidati. That only this activity, when it is purely performed, without interruption, without any other motivation, can fully satisfy the self. Devotees are in full agreement. about these principles. Yet, devotees are also individuals, and yet devotees are also having individual taste and individual attraction. And some may desire to serve Krishna in one way, and some may desire to serve Krishna in another way. And that we also see, the ninefold process of devotional service, and we see how there are different personalities who attain perfection in a different aspect of this ninefold process. So it is said, Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, that in particular, Maharaj Pariksit is known for Sravanam, for hearing, and Sukadev Goswami for Kirtanam, for attaining perfection in Kirtanam. So, in this way, different devotees may focus in a different way. We see also in the six Goswamis, we see some differences. It is said that, for example, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping his Saligram Shila, desired to worship a deity, and Radha Raman manifested. Whereas Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is famous for reciting the Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami is known as the Rasacharya, who particularly explained the entire process of devotional service and how to attain the different moods and mellows. And Sanatan Goswami very expertly established tattva in such a way that it became crystal clear. Very intricate things like Brihad Bhagavatamrita is such a literature which answers very difficult questions. If you ask, like, which devotee is more exalted, Hanuman or the Pandavas? It's like, if you ask such a question, devotees go like, well, you know, it depends, right? It depends how you perceive it. But Sanatan Goswami explains that in a way the Pandavas were more fortunate because they got the constant association of the Lord. Whereas Hanuman, he got the association of the Lord, but most of his life he was serving in separation in Kim Purusa Varsha. It's like one of these islands of Jambudvip. Jambudvip is further subdivided in various regions, and different devotees are residing in these regions. And Kim Purusa Varsha is the region where Hanuman resides and is always worshipping Lord Ramachandra in separation. So Hanuman himself was saying, the Pandavas, oh, they are greater than me. They're greater than me. They are more exalted because the Lord always resides with them in their palace, and the Lord acts like their personal servant. Narada was in total ecstasy when he heard these descriptions of Hanuman, and Narada's ecstasy also was contagious, and Hanuman himself also became ecstatic. He became so ecstatic that Narada said, Chalo, let's go and meet the Pandavas. And Hanuman said, yes, let's go. And he was ready to go, but then Hanuman started thinking, no, how can I go there? I'm afraid to go there. Because, after all, I am a monkey, and, you know, I need to be very strict and act strictly according to rules and regulations, and the Pandavas, they are too loose in their dealings with the Lord. So I'm afraid that I will make offenses when I go there. No, better I stay here and just worship the Lord in strictly according to the rules and regulations of the scripture. So, interesting how Sanatana Goswami is explaining these differences between the moods of the various devotees, the mood of Hanuman, the mood of the Pandavas, as being more intimate and therefore sometimes acting more in friendship. Yudhisthira is ordering the Lord, ordering, you know, go here as a messenger. And Hanuman would like faint, you know, the thought of that. It's like ordering the Lord. How is it possible? One cannot order the Lord. One can simply wait for the Lord, right? To give orders with folded hands. I mean, how can you order the Lord? Unthinkable, Hanuman was thinking. And yet Yudhisthira is doing. You know? So we are seeing how Sanatana Goswami explains these things. It is just amazing. And it is, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in that way is a book which is just a mine of endless truth. Therefore, it is said that Sanatana Goswami is specifically explaining the truth of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami is explaining how to follow. So the point is that different acharyas are playing a different role and are different individuals with a different mood. It's like if you look at Jiva Goswami and Baladeva Vijayabhusan, I mean, what brains, right? Inconceivable, so sharp and just philosophically establishing argument after argument, right? Which like are very strong, and they are just underbuilding. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. For example, it is Baladev Vijayabhusan who is establishing the connection between Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which otherwise is a little, it seems that there are some differences. Now, Baladev establishes very clearly the nine pramayas of Madhva, nine types of proof, establishing Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, devotional service to Him. He establishes all these nine aspects of Madhva's teachings are also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. No difference. Therefore, the same. And he writes a book called Prameya Ratnavali, which is not just one of those books, but which is like one of the foundational building blocks of our Sampradaya, which establishes clearly the connection with Madhvacharya, which is what we are claiming. So, in this way, the Acharyas each make different contributions. And you cannot just... and it seems that sometimes they also have different ideas. We have two main commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, and one is of Baladev, and the other one is of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And it seems that there is a difference of opinion between the two. Because what Baladev calls bhakti, Vishwanath calls karma misra bhakti. Right? And Krishna, what Vishwanath calls karma yoga, Baladev is just calling bhakti. So sometimes confusion arises. What is it? When you are engaging in devotional service, trying to simply dovetail your own desires in the service of Krishna, is that karma yoga or is it bhakti? You can have a huge debate and a big difference of opinion. And we can sometimes see such differences arising amongst Vaishnavas. So what is it? If you are serving Krishna simply dovetailing your own desires in the service of the Lord? It's both. It depends. The cup is half empty, the cup is half full. If you look at it from the half full perspective, then you see it's half full with bhakti. Right? If you look at it from the half empty perspective, say it's still half full with karma. Right? So it's like half full with what? Who cares? Ultimately, the perspective of bhakti prevails. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada chose Baladeva Vijayabhusan's commentary. Because ultimately, bhakti will take over anything. When there's bhakti, then that bhakti will just purify the heart from any trace of karma or any trace of jnana. It's not an issue. If we're not concerned, it's already, consider it already done. It's already done. Therefore, it's bhakti. Bhakti. So, differences also seem to exist amongst Vaishnavas. Bitter battles are fought, right, at times, especially in management. Such a thing. In management, big differences of opinion, and 100% are convinced that it is wrong. But also over matters of Siddhanta, right? Vaishnavas have gone to war. Splits are not new amongst the Vaishnavas. Schisms are there throughout the tradition. Schisms exist in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, schisms. Yesterday I pointed at a schism in the Madhva Sampradaya, and we are actually linked to such a schism. Just see, our historical lineage comes through a split group that split off the Udupi Math. So, in this way, groups and division is also existing amongst Vaishnavas. However, the Acharyas are pointing out that this is something that must be avoided, division amongst Vaishnavas. It is said that the forest fire that was swallowed by Krishna, you know that like in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given the meaning of all the demons that are performing pastimes in Krishna Lila. And all these demons that are killed are representing a particular anarta. Of course, here in South Africa is very well known because Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj has extensively done seminars on the topic, and it is... it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur who comes up with this in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. So then he explains that the forest fire is representing fights among the Vaishnavas. He says it can destroy everything. So his warning about Vaishnavas fighting over anything. Vaishnavas may disagree on, but ultimately a Vaishnava must be inclined to bow down. That mood of bowing down must be deeply rooted in the mood of a Vaishnava. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, to bow down to Krishna and to bow down to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. And therefore, a Vaishnava also is ultimately ready to back down. And if there is disagreement, then ultimately a senior has the last word. Right? Not that one can, that anyone who is 3 days senior can automatically pull rank and close any discussion. Not in that way. That is fundamentalism. But ultimately, we are looking at the senior Vaishnavas for answers. 3 days seniority is not going to make a big difference. But we're looking at, if we see Vaishnavas who really have substantially more experience, substantially received more mercy, then that is to be considered. Vaishnavas that were around at an earlier date than we were and went through a substantial part of history of our movement have received also substantial mercy during that time. Those who were present at the time of Srila Prabhupada, they got some special mercy, undoubtedly. They saw something, they heard something, there was a prevalent mood at the time amongst the disciples, which has created a deep impression, and which is a big driving force in their faith and in their determination in devotional service. That purification is there, cannot be overlooked. Somebody who has for many years done substantial service has also attracted mercy. That cannot be just overlooked. So naturally, when such Vaishnavas enter into the discussion, well, all right, then we should get off our high horse, right? And not just think, oh, but I have a verse here. I have a quote. I have a quote. Direct quote. Direct. Spoken by Krishna himself. Direct. So. But the Krishna Sandarbha is very interesting in this regards. Because in the Krishna Sandarbha, one point is brought up. That sometimes one verse has more weight than 1,000 other verses. And that's a big point, you know, because it's like I have 1,000 verses, you know what I mean? 1,000 here I have, you know? That personally collected for 12 years. 1,000 verses from various different scriptures. I have them here. And the reason why I collected them is that I can hit other Vaishnavas over the head with these 1,000 verses. Yes. And then, you know, one senior Vaishnava just comes in with one verse. Boop. And this one verse, it just knocks over all your 1,000 verses. Jiva Goswami basically makes this point in Krishna Sandarbha. It's a very interesting argument, really. And therefore we see, you know, we cannot doctor ourselves. We cannot just become self-proclaimed acharyas, right, on the strength of just scriptural learning. Then we are munis. And munis, they will disagree. No. We must learn. We must learn from the senior Vaishnavas. Not only what verses are important, but also how to understand. How to understand. We must learn. That is our process. And thus, we are simply turning to the acharyas. These six Goswamis, they are just amazing personalities who are, they are, at every step of the way in the process of devotional service, they are there, right? They are there. They have already, they've already dealt with it. Right? It's not that we're going to somewhere in the process come in a situation which is outside of the purview of the teachings of the six Goswamis. No, there's nothing. There's nothing in the process of devotional service which hasn't been dealt with and by them. And as soon as we think that we are not requiring utpateyaiva kalpate, simply causing disturbance in the process, then we get. But then after the six Goswamis, some great acharyas came up, but also the apasampradayas really came up. And the apasampradayas, they, so much confusion came in. So much confusion. And this confusion filtered in everywhere because different people became a little bit influenced by this one and by that one, and all this influence came in. And then it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, particular Bhaktivinoda, started to pull it back together. What was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which had then become a bit covered, and then Bhaktisiddhanta started to trim, and Viruddha Apasiddhanta, he was like, you know, opposing any Apasiddhanta. This is not bona fide. That is not bona fide. And now, it's again surfacing. It's very interesting. Just yesterday, I was coming across a book now written by academics who are studying our tradition. And they... And when they're studying it, they are thorough. That's for sure. They are thorough, and they get into all the details, turn them over, analyze them, and so on. And they are not intellectually lazy like many of us, right? Who sort of like, I'm already at the third canto after 30 years in the Hare Krishna movement kind of thing. No. They read their books and they analyze their books and, you know, and so on. So in that way, we have to wake up. The book was is a book. It's called The Graceful Guru, and it's about female gurus, right? And then there's articles of different scholars, and there's also one scholar who is then writing about the tradition coming from Advaita Acharya, and how after the departure of Advaita Acharya, Sita Thakurani, his wife, became a main Acharya. And there's a whole article about it and this, that, and looking at it like, wow, amazing. And then there's a book called Sita Charita, which is like the big book on this topic, right? And it is presented as it's out there, right? And of course, we have no reason to accept such a book as authorized. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made it very clear. He basically pointed out that he said there is practically very little historical value in all these different books. He said, like, simply Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. These are our authorized books, and in order to prove that, not only by making such statements, but to prove it in his spiritual life, he read both of them more than 100 times. So, you know, like, that's serious reading, right? To read both of that will keep you busy for a while. Right? And will also make one absorbed, will make one deeply absorbed. So that is our business. Rather than arguing about this, arguing about that, let's just stop all argument and get absorbed, get deeply absorbed in glorifying the Lord and in understanding the glories of the Lord. And the let the acharyas already done the arguing. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami already did the arguing. In the second chapter of the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he goes into establishing, first of all, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of all the other incarnations. And he gives an explanation of the verse, Etichamsa Kalapumsa, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. And he goes technical and he explains that in Sanskrit, the prerequisite must come after the subject, or words that are clarifying something about the subject, to say it a little more in understandable language, words that say something about the subject should come after the subject, not before. It makes sense, logical, systematic way of explaining. First, this is what we're talking about, now we explain it. So he said, therefore, ete chamsa kalapumsa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam. It explains first Krishna and then after Bhagavan swayam, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Alright, so he said, so now I've established it, so now I've stopped all your arguing. Your arguing is finished. That's basically what he says. Of course, we may think, but you know, people will just continue to argue. Yeah, that may be, but they are just out. They are not in our circle. Finished, right? Because basically, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, basically says, okay, here are the arguments, so it's done now. Finished, okay? I've given all the arguments, now there's no more need to argue, let's finish with that, now let's just get into the real thing, glorification of the Lord. Right? That's basically what he's saying. Now we're just gonna do our real business, right? Get absorbed in the glorification of the Lord. That is our business, right? And, you know, did we go to the moon or did we not go to the moon, you know? And, you know, what substance is the moon made of, right? We heard that the moon, that it's very cold on the moon, and that it's like made of ice. It's like, once Jayadvaita Maharaj answered that question, and his answer was, the moon is made of green cheese. Which, you know, is again, a type of answer like, forget your arguing. Forget your useless arguing. Let's glorify the Lord. Right? That is our business. Right? That is our business. Let us simply spend our time glorifying Krishna. And let us get out of this argumentative mode. We don't know anything. And, you know, I'm so learned. I'm so intelligent. I'm this, I'm that. Prabhupada went to London. And in London, he was invited to visit the Mensa Club. The Mensa Club is a club. You have to have an IQ of 148 to become a member. And if you got any less than that, sorry, you know, can't join the Mensa Club. Right? And you got to. So Prabhupada was invited to speak there as a guest, and there was one. Barrister who was there with Prabhupada and hosting him. And Prabhupada began to explain. He explained the metaphor from Bhagavatam about watering the roots and not the branches, right? And not the leaves, particularly. He was saying, yes, one should water the roots and not the leaves, and so on. And then, yatatarur mulani sisinina, right? Okay. And then the man, this is England, you know, so then the barrister says, well, Swamiji, I beg to disagree. Because one can also water the leaves and make a delicious beverage named tea. It was so stupid. It was just so stupid because it was arguing for the sake of arguing instead of like trying to enter into the concept that Prabhupada was presenting via metaphor, right? God was a childish. And it carried on like that, you know. And then at one point, Prabhupada is explaining about, yes, about there is Krishna and there is Maya, just like there is, you know, the shadow side and the light side. And that in this world, the light of the sun, there's always the shadow. And again, the man had to ask, he said, well, that's only from the perspective of the observer. The sun is light on all sides. You know, so all the time he had to argue. And then there was another man who was also a guest in the men's club, and he was all the time echoing what the other guy said. He said, well, yes, I think your point is very interesting, because I think the argument you're actually trying to make is this and this. So he was trying to show, I'm so intelligent that I understand what you're saying, you know. So that was even less intelligent. So it was really, really terrible. And at the end, the man says, Swamiji, it was a thank you so much. Thank you so much for being our guest. It was a wonderful debate. Right? So that's clear what it was, a debate was what he was into. And then he said, I have one more request. And Prabhupada said, yes. Is it so? Could we invite you to please do our test? And Prabhupada said, Test? What is that test? And he says, an intelligence test. And Prabhupada says, intelligence? Intelligence is not so important. And the man was shocked, you know what I mean? He's saying, intelligence is not so important? For a moment, he didn't know what to say. And then Prabhupada said, we have our own test. And the man said, your own test? What is that? What is that test? And Prabhupada said, we have a test to see how God-conscious people are. And he left it at that. End of conversation. Goodbye. You know? And defeated him in that way. Simply by putting him in his place. You think intelligence is so important. It doesn't have much value. The real value is how God-conscious you are. Goodbye, sir. It was a nice discussion. The end. So, in this way, Prabhupada proved who was the most intelligent and what real intelligence is. And that Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, that Krishna gives intelligence, and that real intelligence means simply to surrender to Krishna and to serve Krishna. So, arguing and debating we may sometimes do to defeat the atheists, but in-house, you know, we want to hear the learned opinions of those who are expert. Those who are expert, let them present their learned opinions. We want to hear. And we want to hear from those who have lived by the philosophy. It's just like, at one point, I was in a temple where many devotees were very scholarly, and they felt like, well, only the devotees with brahminical propensities should give Bhagavatam lectures. But I did not agree. I thought I also wanted to hear from a devotee that had milked the cows for 20 years. Yeah? I really wanted to hear from him. Yes, you know, see what he had to say. After milking Krishna's cows for 20 years. So it's not all about who can quote the most slokas. We see that in the example of Srila Gaurakasaradas Babaji, who was illiterate and who could not read, but had others read scriptures and then he would explain them. He would comment. Others would read and he would comment. So his realization did not come from endless study of the books, but his realization came from devotional service, from chanting the holy name, and so on, hearing from the Vaishnavas. But obviously, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also at one point said, at first, I used to think, before initiation, I used to think that my spiritual master was a little simple. I used to think like that. But then he also pointed out the same thing, that learning is very secondary. And that really, the essence is not learning. Learning is there to understand the tattva of who Krishna is important, because otherwise how can we glorify him properly? Just like next door of our temple in Vrindavan, there is an ashram from the followers of Charandas Babaji, who was a contemporary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and who at one point, at the end of his life, introduced this mantra, which I'm not going to repeat, but with several names like Nitai Gaur, and you know, also names of Radhisham in there and some more, and made a mantra out of that, right? And he was asked to why was he doing this, and at that point the connection also was broken with this person. Anyway, he was kept on distributing that mantra, which became very prominent. And now, if you stay in the wrong rooms of the Krishna Balaram guest house, and the same in MVT, if you stay in the wrong bungalows, you got to hear it all the time. Yeah, so you got to be sure you're away from there. In the Krishna Balaram guest house, on the sunny side of the building, just stay on the sunny side of the building. You know. Don't stay on the dark side of the building. They're on the dark side of the building. So, not only are they chanting a concocted mantra, but also they have a wrong understanding, because they chant Nitai Gaur. They chant Nitai Gaur. And they say Gaur is representing Krishna. And they say Nitai is representing Radharani. So, well, you know. Okay, they get some benefit from chanting Nitai Gaur. They get some ecstasy because the mercy is there, but the tattva is a little wrong. So when the tattva is wrong, then the ras cannot fully be experienced. Then one cannot actually become fully absorbed in just glorifying the Supreme Lord. So tattva must be there. But it's not our main business. Our main business is simply to glorify the Supreme Lord. That is our main business. And these things are going hand in hand, trying to understand the tattva and then glorifying the Supreme Lord. But the purpose of our movement is the constant glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Okay, questions or comments? And you can see how it's effect, because, like, in a way, the nicest part of the lecture was when we were talking about Hanuman and about the Pandavas, you know, yeah, because that's the part when we became alive and they go like, wow, you know, and then came all this tattva, you know, like bang, 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 all this tattva. Let's see.
So Prabhupada is so concerned to keep this con within, exclusively within the parameters of the
exclusively?
Within the parameters of
exclusively within the parameters of, finish the sentence.
His teachings within the parameters. And there's something, a tendency to go outside the parameters.
Yeah.
The monks sometimes.
Huh?
So many books out there.
So many books out there. Mm-hmm.
And they're like tempting to read them.
Are they forbidden to read?
Where we draw the line.
Where do we draw the line? So there are many books right behind you. Look. Yeah. Just look over your shoulder. Should we read all these books? What do you think? Or are there some that are not bona fide in that cabinet?
There may be some.
Yeah. There was a time in ISKCON when any book that was not 100% bona fide would be confiscated and burned. Yeah. So, what should we do? Should we go back to those days? Or should we now just have a more liberal approach and say, like, well, you know, we are more mature now?
You mentioned earlier on that there's resurfacing some of this unprecedented teaching within this plan.
Yeah.
Isn't there some danger in that?
Yeah. So better we just read only Prabhupada's books and no other books? Now I'm asking these questions. I mean, I'm trying to get a discussion going. I don't know if you noticed it.
When you say Prabhupada's books, it means within Prabhupada's disciples also, written many books also. So.
Mm-hmm. So?
Within the Siddhanta, what Prabhupada's teachings.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear the learned opinion of some of the elders. Maharaj, what should we do?
Well, it's hard to say, draw the line, because some devotees may write in conjunction with Prabhupada's teachings, but it's quite a lot when you go out there also. When you get into it, you just realize it's going off the rails slowly. One has to have that. I think the devotees that read these books are devotees that have come to that kind of realization as to what is the Siddhanta and what is the aim. Yes, otherwise if that is not there, one is just trying to sort of taste and then it could sort of like go off in the line. I think for mature devotees, who knows what they are looking for. It's okay, but I think for junior devotees it can be dangerous. Because I found one book, Swaziland, which of course is waiting by one of our devotees, but it's sort of like it contains sort of like information that is very bombarding to you, and you can really confuse it. And when I looked into it, I was thinking, yeah, personally, I wouldn't really dive into it because it's really.
Yeah.
It's not the right mood, just expressing his own opinions, but they're very devastating to it. They encourage.
Nice. Right.
Not a favorable mood.
Good point. Okay, let's hear from Ram Govinda Maharaj's contribution on this topic.
I've been, one should read other books also to get a better insight, but at the same time, we must be loyal to our own acharya. In that context, we should read and see how we can support. Statement of acharya cannot be wrong.
Okay. Nrisimha Maharaj made a distinction between different devotees, and saying like some devotees should read, others should not read. What's your response to that?
Depends upon the individual how you want to take. If the books of any devotee, even within this one, if they contradict the statement of Prabhupada, then.
Hi, Dave.
This is what I would do. Going back to your class, earlier in the class you mentioned a key point that how you mentioned about senior Vaishnava and what role a senior Vaishnava plays in all aspects of our devotional service. Like you were mentioning, even in management. Ultimately it comes down to that person who's got more mercy, that person who's got more exposure, that person who has got more association. So I would read a book which is not written by Srila Prabhupada if it is approved by such senior Vaishnavas and if it is okay by other senior Vaishnavas. But also personally, for myself, because I'm fond of books and collecting them also. Not that I read all of them, but I collect. I like building a good library. But I would delve into it under certain conditions for myself that I would establish where I am in regard to my faith, my conviction to the philosophy, to the direction, and the culture that Srila Prabhupada has presented to us. And unless that is solidified in my heart and consciousness, then I'd rather not risk something else.
Yeah. Yes. Very nice. Okay, now I'll say also something. Mother Prasuti, I forgot. I'm so sorry you said that. Yes.
One thing is, when I was a young devotee, the temple president used to get the newspaper, and one day I confronted him to say that, this is what somebody has to keep up with what's going on in the world, because the rest of us, we just read Prabhupada's books, and so we were actually on a totally different platform. And even when we were doing Harinam, I never looked at the shop windows. I never knew what movies were playing. We never listened to the radio. We had no idea what was happening in the material world. So his, as the temple president, protecting us devotees, he would read the newspaper just to keep up. And he said, but it's my job. It's not his devotional service aspect. Anyway, that was the one thing I thought that, he protected us by doing that. Another thing I thought was, just recently was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance, and I was asked to give a talk about Nama Mata, so I, Ramanuja happened to make contact with Ramanuja, and then he gave a book which was written by Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples about Bhaktisiddhanta, and the book was over there by Gaur Kishore. And in that book, it says that Gaur Kishore refused to give initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta, and but Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't disturbed because he knew that some other devotee had asked 18 times before he got initiation. So he just kept asking submissively, and eventually Gaur Kishore gave him initiation happily. But the other version is that he offered 3 times and threatened to commit suicide if he didn't get initiation. And I was always troubled by that version, that he threatened to commit suicide, because it's like, that's like a really under the belt kind of blow, Whereas this version that I read in this other book actually, it's just like I felt this knot in my heart just release, and I just felt so ecstatic, you know, learning this about Gauri Kishore, you know, that he wasn't under threat, forced, and he was And I just thought that there's this other aspect, you know, just a little sentence like that, you know, oh, instead of, you know, throw himself in the Ganges, if he doesn't get initiated. I mean, it's like such a little sentence, you know what I mean? It creates such a mood. And so actually, we need to be really submissive to our spiritual leader as to what we should read and what we shouldn't read, you know, because just one little sentence can create a whole mental state of mind, you know.
Yeah. That's very good. Nice. Thank you. Konja. If you want.
We should stick to reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And if we mature enough to differentiate what would help us in our Krishna consciousness, we should try enough.
Okay, well, yeah, I am thinking that, like, Prabhupada's books are just wonderful because they are, you know, you can be totally open and just take out all your filters, you know. Everyone has information filters in the world, right? We live with information filters the whole day, you know. It's the real thing, it's not, right? And so on, right? We are being bombarded with things that are trying to tell us this is what you need, this is the truth, this is what you must believe, and you have information filters constantly, always on guard. Our whole life, we're walking around with these information filters, right? And with Prabhupada, no need for any information filters. You can just, every word is completely pure, completely reliable, and you can just take it and you can just absorb it and just let it enter your consciousness, and it's purifying it, and it's just, you know, no stress, right? As soon as you start to read somewhere else, you need to take your Prabhupada filters, whatever you need to. Now, when you start to read spiritual books, you need to take filters you got from Prabhupada. Prabhupada's standards, Prabhupada's conclusions. And these filters, the Prabhupada filters, you bring back as you read the other book. Yeah? And then in the other book, okay, you know. So, this is a little different than what Prabhupada says. And then, immediately, okay, well, put this in the twilight zone. Yesterday I spoke about the twilight zone. You know, this is like uncertain. This is an uncertain area of knowledge. You know, maybe keep it somewhere vague on file, and who knows? You know, maybe some more experienced Vaishnava will shed some light, or some book will shed more light. But for now, so in this way, we read, and the more, now, there are some, even when we read books of the six Goswamis, right, we read translations, right, we read it with our mind, so even there, the Prabhupada filters are active, they're on, you know, we never switch them off, they're even on when we're reading these kind of books. And then when we start reading books from very sincere, nice devotees and so on, yes, we read them, but with Prabhupada filters. That is how it is. I also have another simple analogy, in that I feel that Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar, Devotion, Chaitanya, Charitamrita, these are like rice, dal, sabji, and chapati. Right? And as many other books, they are like chutney. They're the chutneys. You know what I mean? So if you eat only chutney, what will happen? Yeah? So also there's a certain ratio in which we should read. Yeah? A certain ratio. I mean, we should have a good staple diet or a good regular diet of rice, dal, sabji, chapati, and then you can have some extras, you know what I mean? Everybody knows it, right? It's just, if you want to stay healthy. Spiritual, the same, right? Good dose of Prabhupada's books should be there. That's our foundation. And then sometimes a little chutney. All right, but with the filters on. Yeah? Then it's okay. That's what I wanted to comment on. Anyway, it's interesting. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up. But yeah, I'm also collecting books, of course. I mean, you know, it's also... And many books help me also to understand Prabhupada's books better. They really do. And it's... And sometimes you get very interesting things from your charge, just like I gave the example of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It's a fantastic book. Fantastic book. And done in a very authorized way. So, you know, we feel quite confident with that book, right? Very thoroughly done. Gopi Puranadana was the slowest translator that you ever met, because he would not only just translate the Sanskrit according to a dictionary, no, he would first study the Sanskrit of the writer. He said, because everyone has his own use of Sanskrit and has his own particular way that he uses words and that he is indicating meanings with it. So he's first studying like the vocabulary of the book. And then, okay, once that was done, all right, then he gets into and they did all that for Brihat Bhagavatamrita. First studied the style of Sanskrit from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, from Srila Sanatana Goswami. So who has the patience for something like that? You know? So he very painstakingly translated and then had very high caliber editors, case of Abharati Maharaj and Jayadvaita Maharaj. So it's like, you know. So then one can feel, yes, these. Now we can put some faith in this writing. Yeah. So different books, and everyone knows that Kusakrata Prabhu translated many, many books very, very fast, and that sometimes there are things in the translations that are not 100% right. Yeah. But he just did it so that we'd at least have something, you know, to have a look. So they must be, whatever comes from there must be taken, must be filtered more and given less importance. So one must know which book, where to classify a book. Therefore it's not recommended to just start reading anything and everything. And, you know. Devotees like small books. Eh? They like small books. No, the Bhagavatam. We got to read the Bhagavatam. That's the main book, actually, the Bhagavatam. So it's like, but I read the Bhagavad Gita. No, finish the Bhagavad Gita now, read the Bhagavatam. Every devotee must have read the whole Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said he wanted the Bhagavatam in every house on the planet. It's the Bhagavatam. Read the Bhagavatam. If you haven't read the Bhagavatam, you haven't really joined Prabhupada's movement, only externally, in dress, but you haven't actually joined. So it's time to join. Read the Bhagavatam. Read it now. You know, it's not enough to live in Prabhupada's temples. Prabhupada many times said, this is not a free hotel, right? This is a place where you read the Bhagavatam. Read it. But there's no time to read. Don't care, read it anyway. Sleep 1 hour less, and that hour you read Bhagavatam. Talk 1 hour less. Stay for 1 week of Facebook and instead read Bhagavatam. Any other question? Finished. We knocked you dead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.